Welcome to Rusty Bites, the small podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hayes, and today's episode, we'll be exploring the developmental architecture for embedded Rust. Understanding the various abstraction layers is important for getting started with Rust, and we'll cover everything from SVDs to BSPs. We'll wrap up with the working group minutes from February 27, 2024. This is Rusty Bites, where it is always better to transmit than to receive. Getting a chip ready for Rust usually begins with a System View Description, or SVD. The SVD is a standardized XML-based format for describing register-level details of microcontrollers. SVD is a standard developed by ARM as a part of CMSIS, or Common Microcontroller Software Interface Standard. SVDs contain register addresses, bit field descriptions, reset values, and interrupt numbers, all of which are essential for low-level software development. Although SVDs are a standard developed by ARM, you can sometimes find SVDs for other architectures, like RISC-V. If your chip does not have an SVD available, they can be generated from header files. Once you have acquired an SVD of your hardware, the SVD to Rust command line tool will generate a type-safe API to access device peripherals. Currently, SVD to Rust supports Cortex-M, MSP430, RISC-V, and Extensa LX6 microcontrollers. Visit the docs.rs link in the show notes to learn more about how SVD to Rust works. Assuming we have found our SVD file and successfully run SVD to Rust, what exactly is the output? The output is known as a peripheral access crate, or PAC, and contains the APIs we need to utilize peripherals via singletons. The singleton pattern restricts the instantiation of the peripheral to a singular instance. This prevents software from creating multiple mutable references to the same peripheral, satisfying the Rust borrow checker and preventing races. There has been discussion inside the working group of adopting the approach introduced by Embassy, which is an asynchronous framework designed for embedded devices. Embassy generates a PAC without singletons using ChipTool, and instead uses pointer math with all the accesses marked as unsafe. In doing so, the singleton implementations are provided at the HAL layer, which solves a few problems. For example, you may want to split ownership between GPIO pins of a single port, the RX and TX halves of a UART, or maybe different clocks and phase lock loops in the clock control peripheral. To do this, with the current SVD to Rust singleton pattern, the HALs have to unsafely bypass the ownership rules. Adjacent to the PAC are architecture support crates, like RISC-V and Cortex-M. These provide low-level access for the more general aspects of chip architectures that are not specific to a single chip. A few examples of this are control and status register access in RISC-V, or the nested vector interrupt controller in Cortex-M. So far, we've added two layers on top of our hardware, PACs and the architecture support crates. In practice, there may be times when you want to interact with the hardware directly from the PAC. However, it is far more typical for the PAC to be used by HAL authors. A HAL is a hardware abstraction layer which provides a high-level API to our device peripherals. The HAL will use PACs to abstract away all the bit flipping to simplify hardware setup and interaction. For example, using Embassy's NRF HAL for Nordic chips, I can create a handle to a UART peripheral by generating a default config using the default constructor. The result is a UART configuration struct that determines our UART's parity and baud rate settings. This is combined with a specific serial port, interrupt binding, and the RX and TX pins to create our UART instance. We have now taken ownership of a UART peripheral that we can use to send and receive data in an easy-to-read manner that is much less verbose than if we did the same task directly from the pack. If you are new to embedded Rust, I believe it is best to begin at the how level. Then you can dive into the details of the pack as needed. If your chip already has an available how, most of the heavy lifting is already done. You'll find working with the chip very approachable. Sometimes you can even find a board support package, or BSP, which adds yet another layer of abstraction. BSPs do not just support the chip, but it supports the development board the chip is used by. You'll often find APIs and handles for specific LEDs and sensors that are available on the board. BSPs can be really nice for those who are very new to embedded, very similar to what you'd expect from Arduino. If you are interested in understanding embedded on a deeper level, the how layer is probably the best place to start. When working with a microcontroller, the typical layers on top of the hardware are the pack and architecture support crates, followed by the how and possibly a BSP on top of that. In a no-stud application, that is one that does not have an operating system or the standard library, you'll also need a runtime. The Cortex-M RT crate provides startup code and is a minimal runtime for Cortex-M chips. The runtime takes care of the memory layout and linking of the program. It also populates the vector table so the device can boot correctly and properly dispatch exceptions and interrupts. It also initializes static variables before the program entry point and enables the floating point unit if available. You'll also find Rust attributes that allow the user to define where the entry point of the program is, as well as pre-init attribute where you can run code before static variables are assigned. An exception attribute is provided where you can define custom exception handlers that will override the default behavior of an infinite loop. When using a runtime crate in Rust, it will expect the presence of a memory.x file. This file provides the memory layout of the target to the linker script implemented by the runtime crate. A typical memory definition file would contain the origin addresses and length of flash and RAM memory. The final abstraction layer that we will talk about today are those for drivers. When using embedded HAL, there are two perspectives, the driver point of view and the HAL point of view. Those who write hardware drivers in Rust can implement the embedded HAL traits to standardize the communication between sensors and microcontrollers. Most HAL authors will design their APIs for I2C or SPI communications, for example, with the impression that the sensor drivers will also be built on the embedded HAL. The result are hardware drivers that can be used with any HAL despite their architecture or specific peripheral requirements. By defining a unified set of hardware abstractions, embedded HAL promotes code portability and interoperability across different embedded platforms. The embedded HAL is more than just a set of traits. It represents a collaborative effort within the Rust community to establish a common foundation for embedded Rust development. Speaking of the Rust Embedded Working Group, last week's meeting had a few announcements. First, the working group's own, Jonathan Palant, has been chosen as the launching pad representative for the Rust Leadership Council. Jonathan will participate in council meetings, respond to proposals, work on policies, etc. The next announcement was that SVD to Rust version 0.32.0 and SVD Tools 0.3.10 have been released. The decision to retire the fixed vect crate was made in favor of the more maintained heapless crate. The next topic of error handling and propagation of errors in drivers using embedded HAL was briefly discussed with the idea that drivers should pass errors up with generics unless the standard library is available. The final topic discussed was the future deprecation of the volatile register and associated crates. The deprecation is founded with the idea that vCell and volatile register are unsound based on the current memory model of Rust. Apparently, reads can be inserted spuriously between volatile operations, causing the unsoundness. See the linked issue in the show notes for more details. That wraps up today's episode of Rusty Bytes, the small podcast. Thank you for joining me as we explored the realm of embedded Rust abstraction layers. Be sure to tune in next time for more bite-sized happiness.